Just get on with it, right? Ready for the sermon this morning? Yes? Let's just get on with it, right? All right, beautiful. Let's turn to the book of Zechariah this morning, chapter 8. I will begin at verse 4. Zechariah 8, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem's streets with a cane and sit together in the city squares. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls at play. This is what the Lord Almighty says. All this may seem impossible to you now, a small and discouraged remnant of God's people. But do you think it is impossible for me, the Lord Almighty? This is what the Lord Almighty says. You can be sure that I will rescue my people from the east and from the west. I will bring them home again to live safely in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and just toward them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Take heart and finish the task. You have heard what the prophets have been saying about building the temple of the Lord Almighty ever since the foundation was laid. Before the work on the temple began, there were no jobs, no wages for either people or animals. No traveler was safe from the enemy, for there were enemies on all sides. But now I will treat the remnant of my people as I treated them before, says the Lord Almighty. For I am planting seeds of peace and prosperity among you. The grapevines will be heavy with fruit. The earth will produce its crops, and the sky will release the dew. Once more I will make the remnant in Judah and Israel the heirs of these blessings. Among the nations, Judah and Israel have become symbols of what it means to be cursed, but no longer. Now I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid or discouraged, but instead, get on with rebuilding the temple. So this morning I'm thinking about how this relates to the Israelites. Keep in mind that this was at a time when really Ezra and Nehemiah had been prophesied by God and had been given by God the task of rebuilding the temple. At the time, the temple had been destroyed, and they wanted to rebuild it, and the people kept getting discouraged about whether or not to do that. And so Zechariah, another prophet, comes forward and speaks for God and says, get on with it. Get on with it. Get building. And it also prophesies what's going to transpire for the people of Israel and God's people in general. And if we go to chapter 9, we're going to see some more prophecies that, oddly enough, the temple did get built, by the way. But oddly enough, we're going to see prophecy of the future that also God was speaking of that we know transpired and took place. And then we're going to see how everything connects for us as a church and for you as a person. Because sometimes in our lives, we're rebuilding things, aren't we? Right? As we go through life, as life happens and change comes and different things transpire, we win some and we lose some, right? We gain and we lose. God gives and God takes away, right? And we go through life through this ebb and flow, it seems sometimes, right? Right? That's life, is it not? Yes. Do we give up and give in and just say that's the end of that? No. We look to the scriptures where God always reminds us that God is continuing to create and build and make more. And God will continue to help. Wherever you are on your life journey, whatever you started to change in your life, I know we're into the month of May, almost June, 6 months of the year. Some of you made some plans in January, right? Some goals, some things you're going to start doing, how things are going to be different, whatever. Right? I hear a laughter in the back. Maybe those plans didn't come into fruition yet, right? Does that mean you stop halfway? No, just get on with it. Keep on, right? Just keep going. You know, every time adversity comes towards you or towards us as a group, just because we get knocked down doesn't mean we stay down, right? Because we know that what God is great and that God can take and rebuild something greater and better than before. And we do our part in keeping on, right? Right? Always. Now let's look at Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem, and I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. Your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners, for there is yet hope. I promise this very day that I will repay you two mercies for each of your woes. Now, how did that get in there? In the very next chapter, what is God speaking to through Zechariah to tell the people to do when their temple had been destroyed? When their life had been destroyed, their means of worship had been destroyed, what did God say to do? Rebuild it. That temple needed to be a place where people could come and worship, right? In Zechariah 9, who are we talking about here? Jesus riding in on Palm Sunday. Remember Palm Sunday a few weeks ago, right? We see the prophecy that Jesus was going to be the one, the Messiah, that was going to ride into Jerusalem and free people from death and give them hope, right? Now, how are these two put together? Why is this one chapter than the next so side by side? Do you wonder about that? I do. What does the temple being rebuilt have anything to do with Jesus riding in to Jerusalem? Well, guess what? Where was he headed? To the temple. What was he there to do? Bring hope. What had I have any idea? I'm going to tell you, though. Do you know how long it took from this prophecy to be fulfilled? 500 years. It was written down. 500 years later, Jesus did ride into Jerusalem, right? Did he not? Yes, we have proof of that historically and spiritually speaking, don't we? Right? Why do you think it's put side by side? Well, I think it's because they relate in the sense of this. Temples and churches are put into place to be a visible symbol of God's blessings, to be a visible symbol of hope for all humanity, to be a place where there's safety and refuge and peace and joy and helping people get on with their lives instead of staying stuck in that dark dungeon of a place of depression or sadness or past, right? A place where death, we walk through that valley of weeping sometimes, right? And things fall apart, right, in our lives sometimes. Yes? Oh, yeah. Right? Sometimes they just kind of come crashing right off the counter onto the floor. My favorite cup. And it can't be replaced. Now, that seems to be a minor thing in some people's lives. But for some of us who are traumatized by having favorite things that mean something to you, and it slides ever so easily off the counter onto the crashing floor and smashes into smithereens. First thing, nobody's ever done any of that. What's your reaction to it? Yeah, really. My favorite cup. Oh, no, now what? Why did I put it there? How did I slip it? Blah, 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 blah. Right? We go on and on and on, do we not? We humans, we can dramatize anything, can't we? Can't we not just make it drama, 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 drama? Right? And then there's always a special way to how to pick it up, and what you look at it and go, what do I do with it now? Right? And you pray, please, Lord, there's got to be Gorilla Glue in this house somewhere. And a person who can glue it all back together for you, right? Or there's the, I should have never used that cup. See, I could just leave it on the shelf and look at it. It wouldn't have gotten broken. Right? Then let's not forget the blame game. If she didn't have so much stuff on this counter, there would be room for my special coffee cup. Now, we laugh about that, right? How important is it really? Really? But do we not have things broken in our life that mean a lot more? Are there not broken relationships sometimes, friendships, misunderstandings? And the hurt is deeper, is it not? And do we not need healing around that? Right? Do we not need God to step in and put all the pieces of us back together sometimes? Yes. And sometimes when we lose something of importance, we mistakenly think that there was something wrong with us, why it happened to us, right? Mm-hmm. We often ask God, why did this happen? Why did you do this to me, right? Those questions, because we are looking to seek and find, really putting everything back the way it was, right? We don't want it to change, do we? We want it to be just like it was and always has been, right, don't we? But what does God want for us? And for us to change and grow. For us to perhaps learn from that situation and grow from it and be stronger in it. And maybe to teach us a few things. Every time we lose something of value or someone of value, can we not learn something in that situation that will benefit us? And let's just say we want to rebuild it differently next time. Do we not take the lessons learned and apply it to the next situation? We hope so, right? Because if you've ever been in a not so great personal relationship, an intimate one with another person, and it hasn't worked out and you're on relationship number 7, and you're, or 2 or 3, or 17, I don't know, but what does that say if you keep having a problem? What's the common denominator?
You.
Not me, you. Say I am, don't say you are. Say I am the common denominator. Don't put it on me. See, the cool thing about God is this. You know, when things do fall apart, God says, look, just because you hit an obstacle, a roadblock, or something trying to stop you, that doesn't mean you give up. It doesn't mean you don't call on God and ask for the help that you need. In fact, that's when you do need to call on God, right? And you need to look at what the words of God tell you, right? This is awesome scriptures this morning because it says, take heart and finish the task. Whatever you are working on in your life that God's working on with you, you're not finished yet, just in case you didn't know that. And maybe if you haven't got a few things right yet, you're going to get them right, right? Right? Because practice does help. And when you learn in the process of practice, right? You look back at the situation, what can I learn from this? Well, Maybe the next time I have a special cup, I'll just keep it put aside. Or maybe I'll be a little more careful with what's on the counter, right? Or maybe I won't care so much about special cups. Amen. What a concept. But we humans, we like attachments. We like connections. We want connections, right? That's the purpose of why the temple needed being built. But it also needed to be built so that people could have a safe place to come and realize there is still yet hope. As we read this today, in Zechariah 8, for example, it says that God will plant seeds of peace and prosperity among you. Isn't that good this morning to know that? So for all of your lives and our lives, and in the life of this church, God has planted seeds of peace and prosperity. Now, what do we know about seeds? They start off small. And what do we want when we plant a seed the next day? We want a tree. Right? We plant a tomato plant. And the next day we go out and look and go, where's my tomatoes? That's the reason for going to places of other nurseries where they're already grown, right? If you're a spontaneous, instantaneous gratification person, you can't wait for the seed to sprout open and let God help grow it. You want it now, don't we? How long did it take for Jesus to show up to these people that God was prophesying to? 500 years. How long is it going to take you to change and grow? 100 years. Wow. And isn't it good to have 2020 to look, you know, we as Christians, we hear these stories and we weren't there then, right? It was 2,000 years ago, right? More than that, that Jesus did ride in Jerusalem, right? And here we are waiting for him what? To come back. God's time and our time, they don't coincide sometimes. But what do we do in the meantime? We just get on with it. We get on about the business of God's work, right? While we're waiting on that seed of peace and prosperity to grow in us and through us, and for the temple to be built, and for Christ to come and be here with us in the last days, right, when he does come back, or maybe in between times, we have a temple right here, right now, that if there's somebody that's sitting in darkness, who's a prisoner, who's captive to anything, or is held back by anything, or needs rebuilding, we're going to get on about it, aren't we? Right? We're going to just keep on keeping on in the meantime. And isn't it good to know that there is hope for all of us? And as it says in Zechariah 12, here's a promise that God made. I promise that I will repay you two mercies for every one of your woes. That means I get two cups for the one I broke. Just giving you a literal example. But if we're going to get two for one, some of us have had more than one woe, right? But we get double. Do you understand the multiplication that God gives us? I don't know where any of you are on. I know where some of you are on your life journey and some of the decisions and plans and hopes and dreams and goals that you have. And some of you are partway there. Some of you have just started out. Some of you are a little further along. Some of you are almost at the finish line, right? And something may occur that could try to distract or dissuade or cause you to think you're not going to get there, right? Do you understand why God repeats so often throughout the scriptures, Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. Just get on about doing it. Stay in action. Any action is better than no action, right? Right? Some of us feel as though we might have become symbols of cursed people or calamities have happened. I want you to become a different kind of paranoid. I want you to think that God is conspiring to bless you. God is conspiring. He's out to get you, to bless you. Does that scare you? He's going to give you two blessings for every one of your problems. Two for one. Double for your trouble. How cool is that, right? Does that excite you this morning? How long could it take? 2016 years. What are you going to do in the meantime? Keep on keeping on. Live your life, right? Be who God created you to be. Build or rebuild something in your life, right? Learn from the past. Learn from your mistakes. Learn, but don't beat yourself up over it. That doesn't help you, right? Does it help you at all? No. And if you're frozen in the past and you're stuck in that dungeon place, we know that Christ, in fact, did come and let all the prisoners free, right? Yes. Right? Yes. So you are free, right? Yes. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. To do what? Get on about it. Get on living your life, enjoying your life, being all that God created you to be. And stop worrying about the things that got broken. Just build again. Just keep on going, right? Know this about this specific church. God will rebuild it. He has put seeds of blessing and peace in this place. And God will perform in us and through us miraculous, awesome things. You will see it. And I don't think it's going to take 500 years. But even if it does, in the meantime, we'll get on about rebuilding people's lives, right? Because whoever's here, some of you, your lives were smashed and broken when you got here. I had... and have, and will continue to have, I think, as a ministry, the broken cup people. You come in smashed to smithereens, many of you. But we are not a church of brokenness. We are a church of togetherness. You might come in broken, but guess what? We got Gorilla Glue big time here, baby. And through God's love and through God's power, we will put Humpty Dumpty and all the rest of you back together again, right? Right? And I promise you this morning, because God does never, ever break a promise. I promise you, God will give you two blessings for every one of those times that something was broken in your life. Test me now and see, says the Lord. If I don't pour out a blessing upon you so much you can't even hold it. Our cup runneth over, church. And sometimes we're too busy looking at the empty seats, not paying attention to the people in the seats. We count you as a blessing to us. And God has planted seeds inside of each and every one of you, seeds of peace and prosperity. And wow, I can't wait to see the trees and the fruit and all the vegetables and all the other blessings that come from your life. Because God is a God of multiplication. If you ever need to know that God wants creation to go on and on and on, just cut open a cantaloupe. See how many seeds are in there. Seems like a bazillion of them. Right? sow are you that seed. Sow are you that seed. Whatever you've got in your life that you put in front of you that you want, get on about it. Stop making excuses. Stop complaining. Stop worrying about what you didn't do and what you didn't get and all the other things that you failed at that you thought you should have done and could have done and would have done and blah, 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 blah. The drama doesn't help you succeed. It only expends energy and makes a messy place, right? Mostly on you. Learn, grow, read the scriptures, believe what it says here this morning. Rejoice, Cornerstonians, look, your king is coming. He's humble, he's powerful, he loves you. And he's here to set you free and put you back together and put a blessing on you and a spirit within you and to live with you and guide you and direct you and help you succeed. And he has built you a temple. You are the temple of the living God. You are. We don't need a temple made with human hands any longer, do we? Because it's the spirits in all of us. Peace and prosperity are little seeds in some of us, in all of us, right? Just get on with it. We're going to end the sermon now. And just get on with serving God. Amen?